I'm so blessed. Once I heard about this man, and I checked out his website, and I called him, and I talked to him, and I've been nothing but blessed ever since. He sent me his book. I read it. It is an awesome book, Peace by Peace, P-E-A-S, P-E-A-C-E, Shalom by Peace. And I don't usually get emotional, but as I read every page of this book, I cried. I cried through this whole book. He's about my age, a little older, and he went through a completely different life than I have, and he's going to tell you about it today. This book is available on the table in the back after services for $20. You should get a copy. Also, he has a DVD. This is $15, and it's going to be on the table also. What a blessing. He has a ministry called Forerunner Ministries International, and he is a Holocaust survivor. Was born in a death camp. We had a person here who used to come and was on our dance team who was born in a death camp, Bella. Bella, and she died from cancer a few years back, but she was born in Bergen-Belsen. But she danced here for the Lord, and she loved it. And so it is an honor to have you here and to tell your story. And I know you're going to not really talk about your story as much as you're going to talk about your topic, which is forgiveness. And I think we all need to hear about that, and hopefully you have some tissues nearby. Peter Loth.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. I think it's still morning. After that morning. Steak last night, I don't know what it is.
Good steak.
It was good. Hey, Omaha makes a good steak. But anyway, my name is Peter Loth. I'm from, where am I from? I'm from now in Texas. I just moved to Texas. I'm a Texan. Hey, don't laugh. Look at the cowboy boots. They will not let me bring a horse on a plane, so that's okay. I just want to see how your sense of humor is. I hate people who. I want to know what about this Jew. No, but I'm a Jewish. I was born in one of the death camps. My parents were Jewish, and they were both put in a death camp. And I'm going to tell you the stories, but I'm the youngest Holocaust survivor. I'm also in Washington, D.C., in the Holocaust Museum, and also Yad Vashem in Israel. But the story is not about me, but mostly this story is going to be about you. I'm going to try to lead you through forgiveness. Because sometimes we look at other people, you know, just as we wanted their testimony. No, but this is about you. You know, what I went through, would you be able to forgive? Because this story is just about forgiveness. Forgiveness is one of the most important messages that today, in this time, that we need it. That we don't understand forgiveness and how important it is. Imagine for a moment somebody steals 20 years of your life. Would you be able to forgive? But some of you might say, but Peter, you've never been raped, you've never been beaten, you've never been abused, you've never been abandoned, you never went through what I went through. It's true, but you've never been what I've been through. Holocaust is just a beginning. Holocaust was just a little piece of my life, and the suffering continue after all this. Any of you would be able to forgive? That's the question. Because I'm praying for you so that your hearts will be open and you would be able to forgive with your heart. Not with your mind, because this kills, but with your heart. That's what Yeshua is talking about all the time. And is open your heart. But imagine Yeshua on the cross for a moment. What do you think he said, the last words? You know, everybody hates him. Everybody don't like him. Everybody just coming against him. Even 2,000 years later, everyone hates him. Would you be able to forgive like he did? Put yourself on that cross for 1 or 2 minutes. You're hanging there. You're thirsty. You are beaten, abused. Would you say something like this? Abba, Abba, forgive them because they do not know what they're doing. I don't think not one of us here would say that. Oh yeah, we would say, oh, I would do it. No, no, you would not do it. Because that was prophesied that will happen through Isaiah, that he will be on that cross. And he is dying for our sins. Father, forgive them. Because they do not know what they're doing. And Mark 11, 25, 26 states, and however you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven might also forgive you trespass. But if you do not forgive, neither will the Father in heaven forgive you trespass. That's a very powerful words. But some of you might say, but we have Yahshua. Are you listening? Yahshua, one who's saying this. You know, sometimes I hear people say, I have Yahshua, Jesus. But listen. Go went over your head, Yahshua saying it, hey, if you do not forgive, neither will the Father in heaven will forgive you. That's how important this is. I'm like you, I had a mother. She was 3 months pregnant with me. She was arrested, put in a Stutthof concentration camp. Stutthof became massive camp, known as a soap factory. They made soap out of human body and they bathed themselves in it. Would you be able to forgive? This is the question. Imagine a woman entering to the death camp, 3 months pregnant, hope that her child will survive or she could survive. Then, because Stutthof also was experimental camp for women. Stutthof have own SS headquarters. Himmler visits Stutthof regularly. Just before he even left, in issue executive order, kill as much as possible and do pain. And he says, I will do so. But let me ask you some question. How many death camps? Name some of the death camps in Europe for me. Dachau. Auschwitz, Treblinka, what else? Oh, yes, what else? How about a 1,600? Nobody ever speaks about it. This is just the magic camps. Stutthof lies on top of it, on your right hand, on top of it is a magic camp. Lies beside the Baltic Sea. But 1,600 death camps. We're not only talking about the 6 million Jews and millions of children, but we're talking to almost 20 million people vanished from face of the earth that we never mention. Right now, becoming Holocaust Memorial Days, I will be in Washington, D.C. in the Capitol building speaking there. But we have to honor the Poles, the Russian, the Czech, the Bulgarian, Romanian, Czechoslovakian, Yugoslavian, French, and all those different nationalities who die in a death camp as well. Because so is so important. How about the liberators? Nobody ever mentioned them either. The Americans, the Russian, the British, the French, and the Poles. We forget those people. But we have to honor every soul who died in those camps. Sometimes we talk about tattoos. Sometimes people say, do you have a tattoo? Yeah, but that's not important. Think about the human being, what we went through. How old you have to be in a death camp? Look at those two. Could be your grandparents. Only thing separates you from them is the yellow Star of David. How young you have to be. Look at this little boy. They will give him tattoo. They will cut his skull. They will fill him with drugs. Hope that he survives for this time, for this season. So that he can give his testimony. And they came by the millions. Imagine standing in the boxcars, week and months at a time. What do you think with the staff for a glass of water? Where do you think they went to the bathroom? Imagine staying packed like an animal. And then they put in places like this to sleep. No food, no heat. Three or four women in one space crammed in and work all day long for a bowl of soup. Would you be able to forgive? And more came, women with children. The crippled ones instantly was put to death. The adults laying in the grounds, they're showing the tattoos. Some different camps, they give tattoos different ways. Some of them got big on the arms. Some of them got on the sides. Some of them got across the chest. Some of them got across the stomach, through the back. Nobody ever speaks about it. Only thing we speak is about tattoo on the arm. How about if somebody show you through the whole body tattoo? Look at the children showing their tattoos before they went to the ovens. They cut the women's hairs. They weave blankets for the German soldier in the Russian front so he can fantasize. And then they took a gasoline, benzene, and they set them on fire. And this is the result of those women burned. Experimentation on women. Not only she's a human skeleton, but now they're going to do pain to her. Experimentation on children, twins. Do you know what hunger is? How many of you have been really hungry? I want to see a hand. I mean, really, really hungry. Every time I speak in schools and colleges, a lot of kids raising their hand. How long you been hungry? Oh, 1 hour, 2 hours. Some college student, oh, for 2-3 days I didn't eat. How about looking like this? Look at that poor soul. Starve, abuse. He can hardly walk. And then experimentation. They took a human body, they cut the head, and they shrink them. And this is the result of shrinking human faces. Would you be able to forgive? In the Baltic Sea, the temperature drops 50 below zero. They put metal plate. They made those women stand, and they put water on their feet. In 45 minutes, their feet were solid frozen. SF's officer came, start pushing one after the other. This is this result. When the toes are separated from the flesh, the pain, the suffering. How many of you like to be a Jew? I do. I am a Jew. Would you be able to forgive? In Stutthof, every time a woman came pregnant, they pulled the baby out of the mother's womb and they took a pistol and started shooting on him. Reason I survived because every anniversary they saved the child. They cut the skull. They experiment on us. That's how I survived. And more starvation. Death overtook every single camp. Every camp have different stories. And then they come the killing. Mass killing of human beings. More bodies everywhere. Everywhere you looked at it. Every camp. Death by freezing. Death by firing squad. Every family looking forward to this. Because when the bullet hits, it's over. At least you never have to went through the tortures like we did. And more dead bodies, camp after camp, bodies after bodies. And more dead bodies. As far as I could see, that whole Europe was covered nothing but dead bodies. And now the German women have to drag those dead body and throw them in the ditches. Now they introduce us to different kind of technique. They put them in a wagon, still alive. And then they introduce us to Stutthof ovens. Did you ever hear human beings scream when it's put in the oven? Did you ever smell the smell of human beings? You will never forget as long as you live. Would you be able to forgive? This is the questions we have to ask. Auschwitz ovens. ovens for children. And ashes everywhere you look there. If you would go to Treblinka, it's about 20 acres. And you walk like in a carpet. Grass doesn't grow. Birds don't even fly over. And I ask you to pick up the ash, the handful of dirt. And what you have is human ash, that thick. That's the human body that is burned. That's the human ash. Who could do something like this? Are we capable of killing today? Yes, we are. We are killers. Uganda, Bosnia. Even down south, near Mexico, borders, mass killing of human beings. Because the enemy is coming closer and closer. Because we got ourselves so comfortable, we think the Holocaust will not come again. The Holocaust, it's coming. Prepare yourself. As me and my mama was in the Stutthof, we have a liberators coming. They were the Russian liberators. And when they start coming, the Germans put us in a boxcar. My mama held me in her arms. She was a human skeleton. And we were liberated near, call it, Toruń, Poland. And the partisan blew out the truck, and all the women were fleeing. And my mama held me, and there was a Polish lady on a railroad track. And my mama went to her, and she said, would you take this child, and I'll be back for him? And she says, yes. And she left me with her and the papers, and she flew with the rest of the women towards Berlin. But take a moment. Where do you think we live after the war? You know, people say, oh, didn't you go to Holiday Inn? Did you stay there? No. City after city bombed out. How many of you have been in Frankfurt? Does that look like Frankfurt to you? That's Frankfurt. Cities after cities, town after town, cathedral after cathedral, bombed out churches. This is my playground. That's how I grew up. Searching through dead body for food to find something to eat. Maybe find candy or something. And this is the town where I have to grow up with this Polish lady after the war, Toruń, Poland. And she become my mother. This is the Polish matka and me. She become my mama. She become my everything. She provide everything. We live underground in a sewer system. Think about it, sewer system. What do you think we ate? In American sector, the soldiers brought with the Red Cross food and shelters. In Russian sector, there was nothing. We had mice, cockroaches, rats, anything we got a hand on. Even sometimes people ate people because they were so hungry. Would you be able to forgive? That's the question. And then everything was wonderful. There comes the KGB. Now the Russians coming. They're asking for papers. Mama is German Jew, hers are Polish, and they put me in a prison. Today still is a prison because we just came from Germany with the documentary of my life. Still is a prison. From there they put us in orphanages. Still is an orphanage. Imagine to walk with the cameras through those doors and you see those little babies and children. And you see yourself through your own eyes. That's me in the orphanage. But look at how nicely the Jewish children, the children are dressed nicely. But look at those two in the bottom, the Jewish one. First, Hitler put Star of David. Now Stalin does the same thing. We have to work all day, walk in a funeral procession. I mean, we were not allowed to go to school. At night, the soldiers came. Got drunk, and they start raping us, beating us. Did you ever see a child rape by four or five men? Think about it. Like this little girl, Star. I call her Star because she has Star of David as well as I do. And she was raped by four or five men at a time. And now the boys doing the same thing to the boys. Would you be able to forgive? That's the questions we have to ask. I never forget when the soldier died and we have to walk. They brought her to the church. There was a big black angel in that church. And they said, the angel is going to kill us for our father's sins because we killed Jesus. I never knew that, dude. I never knew what happened. Why he was killed? By whom? I have nothing to do with this. And they brought the bodies to the church and they made us kiss the dead. And then they put us in that casket, closed the casket, and beat on it. Do you know what that does to a child to lay in a dead body in a casket? You don't imagine. Give us nightmare for nightmare. But would you be able to forgive? And then we came home to my Polish matka. Everything was wonderful. And then one day later on, I'm now of age maybe 8, 9. There comes the KGB. Poor matka opened the door. She says, what do you want? We want the boy. And she said, where are you taking him? To the train station. And then they brought us to this place. It was a Russian officer and a horse and Mongolian troop. What you see, that's not a flower. That's an execution. That's a bullet hose. Now we start executing all orphans because they abused them, they raped them, they tortured them. And as we're close approaching, only thing you hear is like a pistol pop, pow, one after the other. And then as I close, I see this little girl star. She saw me, she's crying out, Kefa, Kefa, help, that's Peter, Peter, help. And she grabbed her by the neck, put a pistol in the mouth, and boof, and he threw her on the ground. Her eyes focus on me, her little hand stretching out. Now it's my turn. He grabbed me by the neck and held me by the neck and put a pistol in my mouth. And by the Polish matka, took her clothes off. She said, take me, let him live. Would you do that for a child? Would you lay your life for a child? Let me ask you that. Because that's a commandment of that Yeshua. If you believe in Yeshua, obey that commandment. If you don't, take the Bible and throw it in the trash. I'm telling you, throw it in the trash. You will be better off. Because you have to obey his commandment. Because in John 15, he speaks to lay your life for one another as I lay my life for you. But she was not my mama. She said, take me, let him live. Then the Russian officer said something. He threw me in the ground beside my star. I hold the hand. And then they follow the soldiers home after the matka and they raped her and they raped her. That's what mama's supposed to do, right? Would you do that for a child? Would you lay your life for any child? Or not even a child, for grown up? I would. How many times you can kill me? And then this Polish lady was writing a letter to Germany. Would somebody help find this family? And one day, a letter arrived from Baumholder, Germany, United States Army base, one of the biggest military bases in Baumholder. Says something, your sisters. Do they look like my sisters in English? Those are black people. Do I look like that? Do I have kinky hair? I don't have any hair, like some of us here. I won't laugh. You're getting bald too, buddy.
That's why I wear
it. I know. I see one gentleman sitting like this laughing. Yeah, I'm shining, brother. I'm shining. You too, Baruch. I didn't forget you. I see you there. And you know, arrived from Baumholder, the United States Army base, one of the biggest army base, and said something in English. Not even 24 hours later, because that was a Cold War now between the Americans and Russians in Europe. It was such a moment of notice, the open fire. And so there's a knock on the door. There comes the KGB. Now they're putting me in a real prison. Now I'm of age 14, 15, that age. Today still is prison. They put you there, they set you down, they're going to ask you a couple questions. Who do you know in the American Army base in Germany? I don't know anyone. You just received the package and the letter. I can read it because it's in English. I never went to school. I only could speak Polish and a little bit Russian. So he asked me again, who do you know in the American Army base? I don't know anyone. Do you know what rifle beating is? First hit with the AK-47 on your mouth, your teeth comes out. I don't have teeth, they all falls. And you pass out. The next day on the other side, the next day over your eyes, your hands are broken, your knees are busted, your kidney and liver is beaten to pulp. Who do you know in the American Army base? I don't know anyone. And now they received the letter from Germany. They found my mother. They want me back. So they take you to the hospital. They try to patch you up best way they can. Now the Polish matka tells you, I'm not your mama. You have mama in Germany. You have to go. No, you're my mama. No, she said, no, you have to go. I said, only time I go, unless you go with me. And she said, yes, I will go with you. Checkpoint Charlie. I have to cross. Look at the tanks, Russian tanks on one side, Americans on the other side. They made me put my hands on the back of my head with my little package. So if you step out of that line, they will open fire because bodies was laying everywhere over there. And I crossed, and two black soldiers grabbed me. I never seen black person my entire life. Only thing I remember is that black angel. It's scary. I knew they're going to kill me. And I screamed, Matka, Matka, come. And Matka waving goodbye because she did not have a visa to cross. And those GI put me in a jeep. We went to PX. They bought bananas and oranges and a big box of chocolate candy filled with schnapps. Rabbi, take the names, please. Schnapps is 80% proof candy. It's a good liquor. I love it. Don't try it at home, kids. Unless your mother and father gives you something. And then now, this black soldier was so nice. And it says, eat. Boy, eat. That's the first words I learned. Eat. I love to eat. It says, eat. And he grabs this banana and says, eat. I don't understand what he's saying it because I can't speak English. And so he's going like this with banana. So I grabbed the banana and I squeezed it. And banana flew on the other end. And I have a mouthful of skin. You want to be hero today? Everybody's quiet. Why don't you go home tonight and try to cut some of that banana skin and try to eat it. It's a nasty. Even pigs don't want to eat it. That's how bad it is. Now the other soldier was laughing like you. He said, orange, orange, eat. I only have two front teeth, and so I was trying to take a bite, you know, and it's bitter because I didn't peel that. I ate with the skin. I knew they're going to try to kill me. Now they put me in a jeep. There was an autobahn from Berlin to Munich that time. Was all of East Germany. There was a tank lined up. You could only stop in a designated area. So I started eating bananas and candies. And in 30 minutes, that whole box was gone of schnapps. It was so good, that first bite. Look at those soldiers. They're in a leather jacket. It's winter. Those jeeps did not have a heaters that time like they have today. And you take that alcohol and candy, it just warmed you up. And one after the other. And all of a sudden, my stomach going bloop, bloop, bloop. Because I only weighed 60 pounds. I was a human skeleton. And alcohol and bananas and oranges did not, they agreed with me. So the stomach go bloop, 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 you know, start dancing on me. And then there comes the cramps and all that. So I tap this soldier on the shoulder and say, Przepraszam, panie, ja muszę do bikacji, proszę. How many of you speak Polish here? Anybody? Oh, too bad. I mean, excuse me, I have to go to the bathroom, please. And he says, okay, boy, okay. He can understand me, I can understand him. Only thing, my pea brain says, okay, banana, okay, candy, okay, you know, all of that good stuff. Maybe it's okay to go in the bathroom and a Jeep. So I want to be shoe. So I tapped him again. He says, okay, boy, okay. Now he's getting kind of angry tone. And I said, it's okay. So there comes the diarrhea. And there comes the smell. Now we can't put the tap down. We cannot stop because the Russian would open fire. So only thing, this guy rolling the window, sticking his head out of the, and goes out, you know, driving that way. And this black soldier who was in a passenger seat, he couldn't take the smell, so he goes, bleh. Now he goes again, bleh. Now he looks like a white man from all of this puking. But they were good guys, you know. And so now we came to Germany, and it was time to meet my mother. But before I met my mother, as soon as I find out I have real mother, I become angry and bitter and hateful. So someday I'm going to try to kill her. Because she left me behind to die, to go through pain that you don't imagine. That's why I said, read my book. But we went through children of Holocaust that you don't even imagine. And that was in my mind through the whole thing. And then when I met my mother for the first time, she was walking towards me, crying. She was saying different language because she speaks German. And she said, my liebe Peter, forgive me. That means my love, Peter, forgive me. And I couldn't understand her because we couldn't communicate. I speak Polish and Russian, and she speak German and English. How would you communicate? What would you say to one another? Only thing she was crying all of a sudden, she showed me her body. You'd be saying, mother showing you, yeah, her nude body, because she was experimented on her body, totally mutilated, tattoo. And then I understood that she went through the same thing as I did. And this is my mama, and those are my sisters. You see, my mama married a black soldier, and those are my sisters, Barbara and Georgia. I mean, Barbara, the little one, you know, she was like a little devil. Honestly, little devil. You know what a little devil is? You know, a little mean thing. Every time I fall asleep, she opened my eyes, stick a finger in, and I head for the ceiling. Oh, I want to spank her butt. Excuse me for saying bath in church, but that's what is biblical also. Bath, if you do not forgive, neither will the Father. All of those words, the cast words, you see it in the Bible, they already, you know, been written in the Bible, but we don't say it, but still. But, you know, bath, you know, I want to spank it. Mama every time says, that's an international language. Don't touch my child. And so I have to go to school in Germany, and now I have to go with little kids. And the German kids made fun of me because I was a human skeleton. Guck mal eine dumme Polaka. Look the dumb Polak. But I'm German. I have a German passport. No, you're a Jew. You're the, you know. Same thing after the war. I didn't want to live. I want to go back to Poland to be with my Polish matka. But they told me that we're going to come to America. The time came, 1959. We arrived to New York. It was a wonderful time for me. For the first time, I've been in a plane. They feed me in a plane. I never been fed in that type of meals before. And then we arrived in New York. I ate two hamburgers, no diarrhea. It was really good stuff. And they put us on a train. But as soon as they put us on that train, I felt pain. I felt suffering. Just waiting on the other line. We stopped in Georgia. In 1959, black and white was not acceptable. Soon as we stepped out of the train, we were introduced to KKK. Imagine, there comes the beatings, there comes the torture. I couldn't go to black school, I couldn't go to white school. No matter where I went, I got beat up, and every time I went with my sister to the store, the KKK spitting on us, because that was legal at that time. And so, I want to end the life of my life because I just felt like it's too much torture. And one day I was walking with my sister and they spit on us. I got in a fight, so they took me to police station and the police beat the daylight out of me because they were KKK. And you don't know what it is to lay on the floor and four or five men kicking you. You have no clue what a pain that is. But Yahshua was always with me. Every time they hit, he always took the pain away. And then we moved from there to Fort Raleigh, Kansas. Fort Raleigh is the one of the biggest military bases in the United States. And then I couldn't take it anymore. So I ran away from home and I walked all the way to Lexington, Missouri, where men named Ike Skelton and Sheriff Daniel picked me up. And Sheriff Daniel was a very nice man. He listened to me. He got the translator so that he could understand what I was saying. And then Ike Skelton, he was a senator of Missouri for 30 years, and he took me and gave me a home, gave me education, and gave me a new beginning in life. And that's what it's all about. A person who believes in God took you and do something for somebody else. And he, even been in the White House for 30 years, he always, every single week, he calls and says, how you doing? Because that's what it's all about. And he gave me everything. And then I got married and got divorced and been in the service, got shut up, came home. And but still I was so hungry because 40 years went by. 40 years went by from my family separation from my sisters and my mama. And I moved to Florida and I was so lonely. I was one day sitting in a Jewish temple and Catholic church was, and my wife went to Catholics and I went to Jewish temple, and I was sitting there and I was just meditating, and as a figure appeared to me. I said, oh, they said words that I should not say in church, you know, like, oh crap. You know, I see a figure, I said, somebody playing dirty trick on me. And I'm touching, and Yahshua standing before me. I was angry, I was bitter. And he's reaching out and he says, follow me. No. He said, come follow me, be my mouthpiece. But I said, I don't speak English. He says, be my mouthpiece. When you fall, I will reach out, I will lift you up. And I said, yes, maybe it's a fear. And then he says, I have thousands of our people. Thousands of our people. And I couldn't understand. He says, thousands of Holocaust survivors. And they said, no. Be my mouthpiece. Give the testimony. And I said, yes. Maybe as a fear, maybe as just love. Because a Polish lady, she took me to Catholic church and then she took me to underground because in Poland that time the religion was forbidden. So I went to a Jewish underground rabbi and he was doing the service. Maybe I went for food because they always feed me afterwards. And that was such a good thing, you know. But one day I never forget when the daughter of the rabbi asked Papa why Peter is always with us. And he said, because he's one of us. And so that was special. And then I moved to Florida, got married. I have 8 kids and 11 grandkids. Yours, mine, and our family like that. I've been married a couple of times. But I guess who isn't in this time, you know. And I asked my God, when he appeared to me, I says, can you help me find my family? Because 40 years went by, and he says, smile and walk away. I got home. I built my own home in Florida, a 4,000 square foot home, myself with my own hands. God gave me such ability to learn. I don't have to read. I just go through the pages. I got photostatic mind. And then later on, I can remember 6 months later, I can read you the whole script. And so I graduate and all that with an engineering degree and all the rest of it. And so I was working on a house, and my wife opened the door because the telephone rang. I says, who's calling? And she says, nothing. I says, did the kids are okay? She knocked their feet. I says, the bill collector? No, you got them thin too, huh? That's good. You're my people. I got bills too. Don't be ashamed. If you tell me that you don't have no bills, I don't believe you. And all of a sudden, you know, I came down and she put a chair on behind me, and my sister was on the other line. She says, Peter, yeah? Are you a believer? Yeah. I said, how's Mama? Mama died. So we have a wonderful reunion. Imagine, too, for the first time I have family. My sister, Barbara, married a black man, and Georgia married a white man. So I have a white side of the family, and I have black side of the family. And if I go with Barbara, it's so nice because I'm the only white man. Imagine if you get, I mean, I see two black people. Imagine the young lady over there, you white. You move away from the black man. That's how he looks, you know. I'm talking this gentleman with the. That's how my nieces and nephew look. So it's really nice to have family, both sides, you know. And then I have other children as well, so. But anyway, so I said, how's Mama? Mama died. And so we had the wonderful reunion, and then they give me the ashes, and they said, Mama, why want to be spread the ashes in the Stutthof death camp? And I didn't want to go, but I said, I will do so. And I took some of my children with me to Stutthof. This is Stutthof. It's a museum now, but everything is intact. It's not like a Dachau that you got pictures, but over there you find the dead bodies, you find the skulls, you find all of those things, you know, the hairs and all of that. Everything is intact, and I have to walk through the gates, and I lost it. As soon as I approached that, I lost it. I cried and wept. I couldn't enter. And my son couldn't comfort me, and my daughter, my son even is a soldier, he couldn't comfort me in any shape or form. And he cried and wept. I couldn't comfort him. We went through the ovens and put flowers and all of that. Then we went through the, with family members, and the laying on pile of that robe. And then we went to the guest chambers. You know what guest chamber is really? You have no clue. Some people go to Auschwitz or to Dachau, they lay in the guest chamber, blah, 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 they're standing in it. But put yourself in those women, like they took 50 women and they put them inside, they close the steel doors, they strip them nude. Now they drop the canister. The gate explodes. Start eating your lungs, every breath. Now your kidney, anything is intact, kidney, liver, lungs, and you're choking yourself. And some, they took a picture, the Nazis, those women grabbed another woman, just ripped the skin from one of the other. It takes 45 minutes to die. Some of the women were pregnant as well. Would you be able to forgive? How many of you like to be a Jew now? I do. Yahshua died for me the same way. And then we went to operating room. After 60 years, the blood is still in the wall. 60 some years, the blood is in the wall. Injection tables with the film injection, watching bouncing and die. Where the women slept, millions of shoes. Millions of shoes. You have no clue what is a millions of shoes. And more shoes. Shoes as far as you can see. I said, get me out of here. I don't ever want to come back. I start hating people. I become angry, bitter, human being again. And then we stay in a hotel outside Stutthof. And this Yahshua that night appears and talks to me. Kepha, you have to go back. You have to go back. No, I don't want to know you. I argue with this. Would you like to argue with a Yeshua? A hand's flying. I hope you do the same thing, you know. And but he always wins. For some reason, he always wins. That ticks me off. Not even slack. He wins. He says, you have to go back. So I went back. And I said, what did we miss? I went with the pictures with Himmler and all the soldiers, SS, Gestapo doctors. And then we came to this. Stutthof Commander. Max Pauli. That's the one on the top. Was the commander of the camp. Paul Van der Harper was the second commander. He was the masochist. He was the SS doctor. And I'm standing before them, and I just, I'm becoming angry and bitter. And I hear this voice. Piotrusiu, now he speaks in Polish to me. Go down on your knees. No. Now I hear a different kind of voice than not Yeshua, but different voice. Piotrusiu, go down on your knees and forgive him. Hell no. Forgive him so that I can forgive you trespass. First thing comes out of my mind to whoever that was, the voice I hear, I say, hell no. Forgive him so that I can forgive you. And I'm on my knees. Yeah, I forgive him. Because he says, you broke the Ten Commandments. And I said, which one? You cast your mother and father. Exodus 21:17. And he took me to Exodus 1. He who curses mother and father will be put to death. Not yet that you're going to have a wonderful life. You will be put in death. Matthew 15, look it up, verse 4 and 5. He who curses his mother and father will be put to death. And he told me, unless you forgive them, I forgive you. And I start forgiving. I said, Father, forgive me. Because I was bitter, hateful, and angry. I want to kill my mother. And as I'm down on my knees, I says, thank you. And I see German people, and I stood up, embraced the German people. I said, can you forgive me? And they said, for what? Because once I was angry and bitter and hateful to German people, and I have no right. Because you're not responsible what happened. And then I saw a Russian soldier, honor guard, standing there with machine guns. I braced them, gave him a hug. I said, Spasiba, tovarish, in Russian. And then I see all different nationality people in that camp. And I spread my mother's ashes there. And soon as we left the death camp, I have massive heart attacks because it was too much. But God says, I'm not done with you yet. And now I go to every single country in the nation. We're celebrating right now March of Remembrance. We started out in Germany. We're walking from death camp to death camp. No, you know Rose Price, did she ever spoke here? Rose Price was my friend. We did that in Germany, and then we, with the other Holocaust survivors, and we walked from camp to camp. And then we went to Russia. And then we go to Ukraine, Lithuania, Israel. Now we're doing in the United States. In Washington, D.C., we started. Now we're doing all over different cities. And that's what it's all about. And also we have conferences all over, me and Baruch, conferences as well, because that is so important, that we cannot forgive because Holocaust is coming again. And I don't want you to suffer. Prepare yourself. Prepare yourself. Don't let this letter happen, because if you're going to let that happen, it will happen again. I'm the youngest generation of Holocaust. It's not easy. for 20 years. Even today, people want to get rid of Jews, especially those children of Holocaust. There's only a few of us, there are maybe three or four of us who speaks and forgive. But don't let us be forgotten people. Ted Pierce wrote the song, The Forgotten People. We are the forgotten people. People of Holocaust, they don't have nothing to eat. They're struggling in their life all over the world. I hope you know it. They're suffering. And yet we're throwing in food. We give money to Africa for weapons, for grenades, for tanks, so they can kill a mass killing, and we're the one who's responsible for. But yet when it comes to the Holocaust survivor, nobody wants to remember. Nobody wants to remember us. I don't get nothing from the German government, from nobody. I have him. Yahshua is my provider. I depend on Yahshua. I surrender my life to Yahshua because he saved me. Every morning I get up, I say, thank you, Yahshua. Even I get up in pain and suffering. You have no clue what drugs that filled you up. I wake up sometime with a headache so painful I have to go to the hospital. They give me morphine. Yeah, the child, what you saw with, yeah, that's me. I have to relive it every day. Read my book and you will see the children of Holocaust, how they suffer. What I just told you is nothing what is in the book, because I can't talk about like that, because it would eat me up. But this is not about me. This is about you. Close your eyes. Bow your heads. Who do you have to forgive? Who hurt you? Who came against you? Who raped you so much that you're not able to forgive? Who stole your life? Who abused you? Did your husband left you? Did your children abandon you? Did your wife left you? Who hurt you so much that you're not able to forgive? Maybe your grandparents abused you. Maybe someone hurt you in a job. Maybe someone hurt you in a church or temple. Who hurt you so much? Someone made fun out of you. But if you do not forgive, neither will the Father in heaven forgive you. Can you be able to bless your enemy? To pray for the one who hurt you? The one who abused you? When I read this scripture in Matthew's, but Yeshua speaking, pray for your enemy. I said, are you nuts? Are you crazy? I'm the victim. You want me to pray for them? Yes. So that you can be blessed. So that you can be beside me in heaven. So who hurt you so much? Because right now I see most of you have your heart is like an onion. You have to peel those layers one by one. Learn how to forgive. Learn how to forgive. Pray for the one. Would you be able to forgive yourself? That's the hardest one. You're blaming yourself because you fail in this and that. Because sometimes you feel like you're no good. But you're good. He died for you. He loves you. You are his bride. You're wonderfully made. Suit your heart. Because this is free. Because this is free. Who hurt you so much? Who came against you? Would you be able to forgive? This is the question. Who hurt you? hurt you so much. Because this is free. This costs you nothing. Only thing you have to come to is Yeshua. Go down on your knees. And say like he did, Abba, I forgive him. Abba, set me free of the sin of sins. I'm a chain bound to that sin of unforgiveness. Because Yeshua came to preach, teach, and heal. And healing is the one of the most important things. You want to get healed physically, emotionally, and spiritually? You have to forgive. There is no deal with Yeshua. You forgive and I bless you. Look at me, folks. I'm way over 65. And I still, look at me, I'm happy, I'm joyful. I do more than most people do. I love Yeshua. I surrender and I go for it. Because he loves me. He's been with me. For this time, for this season, I survived so that I could give my testimony. I'm proud who I am. Even the abuses and the torture in my life is nothing to be with people and love people and lead them through forgiveness. Would you be able to forgive now? Search your heart. Love one another. Care for one another. Can you love a Jew? Can you love us so that I can love you as well? Because that is so important that we love and care for one another. I don't want you to, oh, I pray for Israel. Whoop-de-doo. You're praying for the buildings? How about I pray for the people of Israel? He's gone back where? He's coming back to Israel for what? For the building? Take a moment. He's coming back to his people, to us. Oh, no, he's coming to Omaha. Keep reading it. Keep dreaming. And I still look at me. I got a good sense of humor, too, huh? I can laugh. But would you be able to forgive? Care for one another. You know, a lot of times people, I like people because I get a kick out of people. Because people says, oh, how can I bless you, brother? You're going to bless me? Ooh, how much you love me? Oh, we love you so much beyond loving. You do? So I take my wallet out. They're looking. And I say, which credit card would you like to pay off if you want to bless me? One after the other. Oh, we don't love you that much. Hey, did you ever read the Bible? He who blessed my people, I will bless him. He who cursed my people, I will curse him. Choose. You know, you believe in God or you don't. Just like I said, you'd be better off to take this Bible or whatever you have, Torah, whatever, throw away, not knowing. But when you know it, live it and obey the commandments. You see, when I fall in love, I go anywhere. I promise this man, I will come, I'm here. True or not?
True.
I have even other engagements. Believe me, I'm everywhere. You can find it. And now I got a new friend we're going to speak this week. Where we do speaking with church?
Manual.
Manual Fellowship. We're going to speak tomorrow. You see how God works? I came for this, and now he go range someplace else. Because Yeshua is so good. If you fall in love, Yeshua, just surrender your heart, not this stupid head. You know, chop it off, throw it in the trash can. Who said an amen? That's my lady. Flush it down the toilet, you know. Because that way you're not good, but with your heart. He speaks with your heart. All the way from your birth, he speaks to you with a heart. Love for one another. Care for one another. Amen?
Amen.
You want any question and answers?
Maybe for later.
For later. Okay, we're going to have a question and so come in. Yeah, it's, I still got 5 minutes. You said 12 o'clock. No, 10 minutes. No, go ahead. Go ahead. No, I mean, because a lot of times in the audience, people like to know something, or maybe I forgot. I know you're going to ask me what happened to the Polish matka, right? Because later on, when I was a soldier, we were stationed in Germany for a while, and so I suggested to my commanding officer that I have Polish matka in Poland. And so I said, I would like to give him money. He knows my testimony. He says, well, it's organized since you went with this some unit, special unit. So he says, would you like to take a few men and sneak into Poland? And I said, oh, yes. You know, but not armed, but, you know, to just go. But if have to, you have to shoot someone, I would, you know. I want to see my Polish matka. So we went and gave him money and everything. And just for certain hours, and from there we snuck out back to Germany, we left. And so then afterwards, you know, she died, and I couldn't go back because my paper states, if you read my books, it says I have to leave Poland forever. I was not allowed to go to Poland. Now I can because the communists dropped. And so we found her grave after 20 years, and we just put a stone on it, says, thank you, Mother, because there's no other word. She laid her life for me. Lay your life for one another. That's a commandment of God. She obeyed that commandment. And that's why today I lay my life for anyone. And believe me, I have few calls. But God is always with you. He always, because the enemy have no rights over you. Lay your life for one another. Love one another. Care for one another. Be truthful to one another. And then he will be truthful to you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.